Welcome to the Anthro to UX podcast, where you will learn how to break into UX with an anthropology degree. Through conversations with leading anthropologists working in user experience, you will learn firsthand how others made the transition, what they learned along the way, and what they would do differently. We will be discussing what it means to do UX research from a practical perspective and what you need to do to prepare a resume and portfolio. I'm your host, Matt Arts, a business anthropologist specializing in design anthropology and working at the intersection of product management, user experience, and business strategy. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Anthro to UX podcast. I'm Matt Arts. I'm here today with Jason Garrison, qualitative UX researcher at Answer Lab. So, Jason, thanks for joining me. Would you mind by telling everybody how you got started?
Yeah, thank you, Matt. I've heard a few people give the story of finding you during the pandemic and kind of making a transition. So it's nice to meet you. That's exactly my story. And thrilled to be able to chat with you. I got started in anthropology early on. I was born in a small town, raised in Wisconsin. Parents are both teachers, and so we grew up going to public libraries a lot and reading and kind of like the Shire and the Lord of the Rings. You know, those people were big explorers, always dreaming of adventure. And so anytime I would go to the library, I would always make a beeline for the Oceana section and really got interested in just reading people's fieldwork and observations. You know, there's a lot of those types of books in the anthropology section, but I didn't actually think about it being a viable career path or something that I could actually do. So one thing kind of led to another. I started out my career in education, actually. I was interested in history, social studies, civics, and kind of the connection between understanding people and how we make a kind of livable society. So the practical part of anthropology has always really interested me and how we make it constructive and usable. And while I was in Leiden University, actually came across anthropology as a formal discipline, actually as a, I was teaching a sociology course. Realized that a lot of my favorite excerpts that I would have my students read were from anthropologists, and I dug deeper into their work and wanted to know more. So I went to grad school and studied anthropology. I had a practicum in Malaysia as a part of that program, and I was working with Rohingya refugees who are from Southeast Asia. They're a Muslim group from Myanmar. And through that process, I got kind of exposed to some projects that were on the ground. And a couple of years later, I was invited to come and work on a cultural anthropology project where we were really helping stakeholders understand this group of people to provide livelihood services and things like that. On the other hand, it was like a linguistics project. There were a lot of communication difficulties with Rohingya in that area. They speak a unwritten language, so there needed to be some sort of communication between community leaders and the UNHCR and churches and organizations that were caring for them. So anthropology played a pivotal role in helping them understand what would eventually be a really impactful time through the pandemic to be able to provide emergency care and livelihood services for Rohingya. So that's kind of as quick as I can walk through it.
And so you mentioned that you had this interest in the practical, and of course, the project was very applied. And so any sense of why you felt, you know, from the beginning that you were interested in that sort of practicality or the application of anthropology?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that I saw that demonstrated with some people that I was reading and some people that I was exposed to. One that comes to mind is Brandon Stanton in Humans of New York. He's kind of a popular proto-anthropologist. But I think his work in, helping understand barriers that might keep us from talking to each other is pivotal. But I think my thinking goes to a little bit more of a civic space with that. Like, what are the types of community problems that we have simply because we're not able to understand the categories that another group is speaking in? And how could anthropology possibly be a constructive way to bridge those gaps? I know we experience that a lot in the U.S. as a multicultural society, and where I was at in Malaysia certainly got exposed to that. And so anytime there are breakthroughs and we see kind of the beauty or the wisdom of another culture being able to be applied in a new and refreshed setting, that's my light bulb moment as a professional. So I love kind of being part of excavating those, making them useful.
You somewhat alluded to this at the outset, but tell us a little bit about how you discovered UX and, ultimately the journey to that.
Yeah, I had been involved in some digital design and some kind of web building practices. But during the pandemic, I came back to the U.S. and I was considering a few different career paths. I was thinking about possibly going back into teaching. I had my licensure, and that's where I got started out as a professional. But for a whole host of reasons, that was too much for me to commit to, and I was very invested in anthropology. I was also looking at a possible PhD program. Again, could spend a lot of time talking about why I decided not to go that route, and I have a lot of admiration for people that do. But during that time, I had a friend who just said, "Hey, you're not sure." I was back in the U.S. for an unknown amount of time. And he said, "You're not sure if you're going to be here for 3 months or 6 months or 2 years. Why don't you just understand the basics of UX? This is a great skill to have just as a person living in 2020 at the time." And it was really trying to build that skill. I had no intention of connecting it to anthropology, but it was shortly after that I started to connect with people in my organization and in with other client projects as I was trying to develop. And I was seeing, oh, there's a diary study. What is a diary study doing in tech? I know about that. And I'm reading all these kind of methods that I've seen in an anthropology space. And then as I started to kind of connect with other people that I thought were like me, you were one of those. I really enjoyed how you spoke and the types of people that you had on the podcast. And I saw it as a viable way forward. And I'm very excited now to keep doing that. I've found a very practical home for what we do and how we think.
So there's two things in there maybe I want to touch on. First is, if you don't mind, I'd actually be curious to hear your perspective on the PhD, because there are people who still kind of go back and forth over what's the best path. And there are many listeners who are younger who are trying to decide, should I go right into industry or not? And so, do you have a particular point of view now, especially working in UX, of like whether or not you think you need that?
Yeah, thanks for asking the question. And I do think it's valuable to talk about, because I wish that I had stumbled on a conversation like this. And it took me dozens of hours with professors at different universities, at different PhD programs to try to understand this. I think with my particular situation, I was very interested in studying a niche group of people. I was interested in studying Rohingya people who are from Myanmar. I was interested in doing kind of classical structural anthropology and understanding more about just their society and culture in general. When I looked at the, utility of a PhD, I was going to be spending what looked to be like 7 to 9 years. I would be speaking primarily to other academics with the work that I was doing. And I also considered what it would set me up to do when I was done. So if what I wanted to study was different or more flexible, I think a PhD would have been a really great option for me. But because I had a really niche interest, and I did some kind of self-reflection, I talked to a lot of mentors, like professional guides, people who had understood this space. And I had to kind of understand, A, what my motives for a PhD were. And I found out there were a lot of them. A lot of it was generated by just personal curiosity and kind of achievement of this milestone. And I realized that didn't really fit my personality type, the actual process of what I would be doing, and where I would go from there once I was done. I would probably be able to be a professor, and it would be difficult, even that process, after the long, arduous process of thinking really deeply about writing your work. So I think in the future, it's definitely still on the table for me. I have a passion and a curiosity for that. But at the time that I was anticipating it, it didn't make sense. And I think I would have wanted to be a lot more flexible with my subject area. I would have wanted to adapt to maybe what a professor or a thought leader was already studying, and kind of incorporate my interest into that, maybe as opposed to kind of having a really concrete idea of what I wanted to do.
So you also said in the previous response, you said that UX has offered you a practical way of applying anthropology. So while I can see that, I want to just get your opinion on, maybe a related concept. So do you see, there's always this sort of debate of whether or not anthropology really shows up, in UX, or if it's ethnography light, or, there's various terms that are sort of thrown around. So when you say practical, do you just mean like, in some sense, like a good space to apply it? Or do you also see it as like a watered down version, as some people maybe critique it?
Yeah, I think I understand the watered down sentiment. I haven't experienced that as like a final problem. I've experienced that as, not enough value in the organization, or maybe not enough scaffolding to kind of understand how anthropology can be applied. But backing up, it's clear, like a lot of these digital experiences, if you've tried to go to a concert recently, or tried to get a hotel or book a trip, you're kind of hit over the head with how difficult it is to act in a digital world. And I think anthropology can be constructive in the sense that it can kind of take, delight or wisdom or beauty from a place, and it can kind of help stakeholders understand, designers, product owners understand how that like idea or concept or experience can fit within their kind of business, their value proposition. And so I do believe in that, and I've seen specific clients. I work at an agency now, and so I've seen specific clients that do have the appetite for it, and they've been able to leverage those insights in a very effective way, in a way that not only solves a short-term problem, maybe it's onboarding or their funnel or whatever, but it also sets them up for a long-term loyalty, just because they're interested in understanding from a deep human perspective what someone's desire is to accomplish in an experience.
you're in the research operations space. So how do you see maybe, you know, anthropology contributing to that?
Yeah, so anthropology contributing, I actually kind of see it in the reverse. I think that research operations contributes to good anthropology. I think maybe if we start with the premise, and if you disagree with the premise, that's okay too. If we start with the premise that the best research, the most strategic and impactful research is going to be strategic. It's going to be well thought out. It's going to be planned. It's going to be measured and sustainable and repeatable, as opposed to, oh no, we have a product release. Have we done any research on this? More kind of reactionary or emergency research. So within that premise, I think research operations is the discipline that enables researchers to be great storytellers. It enables them to direct their attention towards parts of the organization, towards research problems that need creative answers. And I think it sets anthropologists up to do anthropology because rather than, you know, being machine managers and just churning through data and making sure that, you know, in-depth interviews are being completed and things like that, it allows them to kind of focus on a problem space to imagine creatively, how does this stakeholder question apply to this problem space? What kinds of methods do I have at my disposal with the constraints that I have? And then once I have my data, what are some unique ways that I can tell a story about this data? What are some ways that I can make this vivid in the minds of my stakeholders to be able to not only solve their short-term problem, but also uncover new opportunities to solve problems for the people that they're building for? So in that way, I think research operations keeps a well-oiled machine so that researchers and a research department can turn its attention to strategic research.
Maybe we should even step back a little bit more with that. For anybody who's maybe new to that term, could you, you know, in very practical terms, like in terms of maybe like tests that actually happen within an organization, would you mind giving like some definition of research ops?
My understanding of research operations is that there's a real focus on the managerial and the administrative. So things like keeping healthy panels for the different segments of users that you're speaking with, and making sure that there are resources for reports, and making sure that you have tools for every part of the research process. Those are some of the elements of research operation, but I think at the core, research operations is the art of facilitating great tools with the people that are using those tools to be able to execute ongoing research. I know that's a little bit of an abstract definition. If you'd like for me to get into some more of the nuts and bolts, I can, but it's so broad that I like to emphasize the emotional intelligence part of it, because I do think that coaching and fitting people with the tools that they can use to execute research is at the core of good research ops.
As you've already kind of described, there's a bit that goes into, say, setting up the research, but there's also the opportunity for organizational memory and sort of, you know, long-term understanding, and that gets into maybe repositories. And, you know, when you read on the web, you'll find lots of takes on this, find maturity models, you find different ways of organizing a repository. Do you have any strong feelings one way or another of, you know, how you can really optimize the use or design and use of a repository?
I do have some strong feelings about this. Thanks for asking. So I see the intake process and the repository as really two sides of the same coin. I know they're different things, but when a stakeholder comes to do intake, what they have is a rough question, and it's kind of on the researcher to understand how to excavate that question but also to kind of socialize what it is that research does, what the time frame is. So you're giving a reasonable expectation with a stakeholder of how long a project might take. And it's also to inspire, to show, we leverage this question in this problem space, but I wonder if we did it in a broader space or in another setting. So a repository, I think, is the other side of that same coin, where you have stakeholders that are coming and saying, hey, did we do any research on this, or this page, or this experience? You're able to, hopefully in a very organized and clear way, point to the actual past research that's been done. But in addition, you're also helping to kind of socialize what the UX research team does, what they're capable of doing, the types of decisions that they can leverage or impact, and you're inspiring towards what could be done in the future. That's why I think those are kind of married there.
If somebody was interested in research ops, what do you think would be good additional skills to tack on to, the traditional anthropological toolkit?
Yeah, I think research operations is very concerned with kind of directioning a UX research team towards organizations' problems, towards their business questions. So learning how to speak the language and learning kind of business acumen, understanding KPIs and understanding key performance indicators and objectives and key results, learning how to read between the lines and understand, okay, this is what's written on paper, this is what I'm hearing in meetings, here's what I'm absorbing. That's another soft skill, but I think it's kind of in a different discipline. It comes with being able to anticipate and intuit what's going to be valuable for a product team, for a business. And so if I was talking with someone who wanted to merge into more of an operations standpoint, I'd really emphasize the strategic part of being able to see research not as your individual work in a vacuum, but understanding kind of the business needs as a whole. And then with that in mind, that's going to help you identify tools and vendors and methods, and it's going to affect hiring practices and team structure and things like that that are going to make effective your research operations foundation.
Do you see any specific need for like information technology skills?
Not particularly, no. I don't, if you're speaking generally about IT, within research operations, I think one thing that I've seen be a mindset that I've seen be really effective is like a player coach, someone that understands their research as well, but also understands the larger landscape of the organization. So I think there's a lot of emotional intelligence involved. And it's frustrating to me to hear it talked about like it's this kind of dungeon desk work that someone's filing away papers. No, research operations is key in putting your mobilizing your researchers to do what they do best. And I think a lot of that, the one area where a good IT acumen might be helpful is when it comes to hearing feedback from your team and being able to say, oh, this platform that we use to conduct, card sorts or something, it's frustrating and we'd like to look for another vendor. I think maybe having some general tech acumen and understanding like the familiarity of these tools would be helpful. It's good to kind of intuit the feedback that you're getting from team members. But again, it's serving that kind of larger purpose of understanding how to best leverage the tools you have on your team and the people that you have on your team. And I don't think a lot of the analysis that you get about these tools is very accessible anyway. So I wouldn't let that scare anyone away.
It does, you know, the way you're describing it, of course, it does also offer the opportunity to be doing research on the researchers.
Yeah, doing research on researchers is, like you talked about maturity models, and I know that's seen as one of the most mature expressions of a UX research team is to have some kind of self analysis. And one way to do that is with embedded ethnography. I know that we sometimes in UX research, we talk about contextual inquiry and being in a problem space in order to understand it. And I think that's amazing. I think that's terrific. Ethnography is that exponentially, because not only are you inside a problem space, but you're also able to develop trust over time, which is a key part of understanding people and their motivations and how they work. So I think for anyone that's interested in understanding how does our research team function and how could it improve, I would put forward embedded ethnography as a great way to bring someone into your team to not only execute research and move your team towards its goals, but also provide some, you know, outside feedback, some consultative feedback on where the team can grow, where the team needs more resources and things like that.
Is there anything that, you know, you want to share with everybody about how to get into this space?
I kind of fell into research ops accidentally. I was on a client project that needed some research operations foundation. So I was able to get some training, and then I kind of learned a lot on the job. And I realized how much of my previous work was really research operation focused. But for someone that's interested in understanding operations or that appeals to them, again, I think it has, like, sadly, a certain connotation, but I would encourage people, if they're interested in the research process, I would encourage those folks to talk to people who are in strategy and who are product partners or stakeholder, because understanding the relationship within your organization between research and designer of the product is going to create some gaps. I mean, it's very rare that you have a completely healthy and mature research operations foundation. So you'll see those gaps when you are in the conversations between product and research. And I think thinking about those gaps and reflecting on, how can our UX research team be more efficient? How can we be more effective? Those are the kinds of questions that research operations ask.
Very well. And so do you have anything coming up that you want to share?
No events coming up. I do want to take the opportunity to plug a friend of mine, Jen Blatz. She works with the UX Research and Strategy. There's a Slack group there. It functions as a job board, but also as a place for people to come and ask questions and meet other UX researchers. So if someone's interested in getting started, that's a great place. She was very helpful to me. So wanted to plug her team.
And if anybody wanted to get in touch with you, where would be a good place?
My portfolio, my website is jasongarrison.nyc. And I have kind of an overview of myself there, but also if I've been involved with people that are trying to transfer into UX or interested in moving to research ops or anything like that, I have a contact me at the bottom. So feel free to send me an email. I'd love to chat more.
Wonderful. Well, Jason, thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you, Matt.
Thank you all for listening to the Anthro to UX podcast. To learn everything you need to break into UX, visit anthrotox.com. There you will find all the podcast episodes and career coaching resources. Please like, share, and subscribe. See you next time.